until I was about 20 or so, I used to wait for inspiration to strike. And then I opened for Jack Hardy, who's a songwriter from Greenwich Village. And he was the first songwriter I met who wrote songs on a schedule. And I never knew songwriters could do that. You know, I thought at the time he was finishing a song a week. And he said, you know, that if you go after the songs, you'll write more songs and you'll improve a lot quicker because you're exercising the writing muscles. Even if you throw out three quarters of what you write, you're still going to be better than a passive approach. So I pursued that for a long time, trying to did one song a month for the first year and then two songs a month for the next bunch of years.
Talk about how you write. Do you wait for inspiration to come on you then if you're not making quite as many studio recordings as, say, you did 10, 15 years ago?
I tend to go after the songs. That was my approach for a long, long time. Now it's just a matter of fitting the time in. I have kids, so when I'm home, there's family life and running the house to deal with. And for the audience, I don't get to play as many songs as I would like to anyway, and there's just not enough time in a night. I guess not a great need to put out more songs at this point, but I enjoy the writing, and I've got the Red Horse Project and my own new CD that'll be out sometime.
So would you say it's easier, harder, or different these days?
Well, it's definitely different. It's easier in some ways and harder in others. You know, it's easier to, you know, you can make records at home, put things online, you can do YouTube videos and that sort of thing. So there's ways to get your music out there in ways that were never even conceivable when I started making records. But it's still a difficult thing to find an audience, I think. That may be a little bit harder. There's fewer outlets, like newspapers and magazines don't review records like they used to. So it's a little bit harder to get the word out in the old way. There used to be record stores. Now you see some isolated ones here and there, but not in every shopping mall. So it's kind of gone online with iTunes or Amazon.com or CD Baby. So it's a very different world. There's a lot of great young people making music out there, and everything is kind of so fragmented. There are some record companies, but you can do so much on your own. You don't really need a record company to distribute your music, but I think it's still a difficult thing to be able to get known. And that's what I kind of was at the tail end of the old world, where I had the support of a fairly large record company with resources, so I was able to get out and find an audience. I think it's still possible, you know, through modern technology and everything, but I think the attention is so fragmented, it's difficult to reach enough people at one time. So I think record companies still have a role to play there.
Among John Gorka's recent works is a release that he made for Red House Records back in 2009 called So Dark You See. On that release, it starts off with a beautiful setting of a Robert Burns poem called A Fond Kiss. I asked him how that song in particular came about.
It's kind of funny how that came about. I was driving from Western Mass to a show at Club Passim in Harvard Square, and I was listening to the radio, a radio show called A Celtic Sojourn, out of WGBH in Boston, and you know, it was a Celtic show, and it was the next day was going to be Burns' birthday, so they were playing a lot of Robert Burns songs, and so I was listening, and the host told the story about A Fond Kiss, and he said that it was written to what was probably his true love. He was married when he met her, but he had that they carried on this a very passionate exchange of letters. I don't know if there was any other romance involved other than by the mail. Anyway, she decided to break off her relationship with whatever it was with Burns and to go back and join her husband, who I think was in Jamaica. And so he wrote that for her just before she left on the and sailed away forever. When I heard that story, I had my laptop with me. I got the words from the internet and put a tune to it. Played it the next night at on Burns' birthday, Club Passim. They have things called Burns Nights where people will gather and have different foods and recite poetry and sing songs. And I wanted to have that done for his birthday.
A fond kiss and then we sever. A farewell, alas, forever. deep in heart-wrung tears I'll pledge thee, warring sighs and groans I'll wage thee.
Among the many folk artists that John Gorka knows and has performed with, Utah Phillips stands out as a particular influence. Phillips was well known in the 60s and 70s not only as a singer-songwriter but a rabble-rouser, an activist, and even a presidential candidate for the Do Nothing Party in 1976. I asked John, what about Utah Phillips appealed to him?
Just a great, great storyteller, a great performer, a great, great songwriter, great rabble-rouser, kind of one of the great figures, I think, in the folk world after the 1960s, what he called the Great Folk Scare.
Explain that.
I guess the Folk Scare was a time when the when folk music had become a commercial. For a few years there, it became a very commercial kind of music, a little different from, say, Woody Guthrie or Pete Seeger today, but it was kind of a weird thing where roots music and working people's music became a subject of commerce.
What do you think Utah Phillips would be writing about these days if he were around?
I think he would be well aligned with the Occupy people.
Mm-hmm.
He's always conscious of privilege. If you can find, look online, try to find his stories and his music. He's quite a wit character. Ani DiFranco made, I think, one or two records with him. A great person.
And you said you got to know him just a bit.
A little bit, yeah. I worked for Sing Out magazine for a while, and he was on the board of Sing Out, and he was encouraging, over the years, and it was very, very nice. He had some heart trouble he started in the 90s, and he stopped his traveling so much, and he started to put together an anthology of his songs, kind of other people doing his songs. And he made a cassette, recorded the songs that he wanted other people to do and who he wanted to do them. And that's what that little soundbite from came from, that where he says, I hear this song coming out of John Gorka. Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. And it was really funny to discover that, after he died, and to hear that, he's can you hear me? And so I hoped he would like that version.
That song there, I really hear it sung and would love to hear it coming out of John Gorka. John, do you hear me now?
I look to see the wildflowers blooming and wonder why they seem so plain. Springtime rides all the brown hills over. Young birds sing in the silver rain. I think of you as the night rolls by. You're on my mind the whole night through. Far away in a lonesome city, all the time you're gone, I think of you.
Singer-songwriter John Gorka and his version of the Utah Phillips composition, I Think of You, from his album So Dark You See. John Gorka plays the Carnegie Community Arts Center in Somerset this Sunday evening at 7. Information is available at carnegiearts.com.